Amen, amen. Oh, amen. I was on mute there. So, Father God, we just thank you this morning, Father God. We thank you, Father God, as we prepare to worship in your name, Father God. Give you praise, honor, and glory, Father God. We thank you for each and every one here, the ones that will listen later, Father God, and the ones that will join us later. We thank you for each and every one, Father God. We thank you, Father God, as we're about to go into this new year, Father God, that you be with us like you was in the last year, Father God. We thank you that everything you have done for us, Lord, we know so many people who haven't got a chance to see this new year, Father God, but we pray, Father God, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for everything you've done for us, Father God, in the last, in the old, and in the new, Father God. So we just thank you as our worship service go through, Father God. We pray that there you are in the midst, Father God. We thank you. We give you praise, honor, and glory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, I'm in Dr. Carson.
Come on, church, until I die, I will drop. Let me hear you.
To be talking about giving it to God. And I think this is a good message for the end of the year, going into the beginning of the year. We need to give it to God. Because many of us have been carrying the same burden all year. And it's time for us to be able to give it to God. So we're going to look at five ways to do that this morning. We need five ways. We need lots of ways to give whatever it is to God that we're holding on to, and we've been holding on to it. Maybe we've been holding on to it since last year or the year before, but now's the time to release. So how do we let go and let God? That's the question. And we look at Hebrews 12 and 1, and Paul says to throw off everything that hinders us and sin that will easily entangles us. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for your people. We thank you, God, for the honor it is to hear and hearts open to receive. And we ask, Father God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We give you all the glory and praise in advance, Father, for what will be said and done this morning with the unction of the Holy Spirit giving direction. Amen. So, throw off everything just that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. And that's Hebrews 12 and 1. And every day we have a chance to renew our minds in Christ. This allows him to take all that hinders us so we can run the race marked for us. You see, the hindrances are like weights, and they slow us down. They cause us to be distracted, so that we can't do what God is calling us to do, because we're looking back instead of going forward. These hindrances become sin that trips us up and slows us down. Giving it to God may seem scary at first, but our surrender will bring us freedom. And that's what we need. We need freedom. Runners know that to run with perseverance, they have to let go of everything. Some will even shave the hair on their entire body because a slick, clean surface makes all the difference. Every day, we must choose to let go of what's behind so we have a smooth surface. Surrender to God. When we let Him, when we let go, we give God a clean slate to do His mighty work in our lives. So you see, we just have to get rid of all of those weights, all that stuff that's weighing us down that we've been carrying this year, maybe the year before last, whenever we need to get rid of it. And today is a good day to start. This is the end of our 2023, and we're getting ready to go into 2024, and we don't need to take this stuff with us. So what does it mean to let go and let God? When we let go and let God, we are submitting fully to Him. We are letting go of whatever we've been trying to do on our own so God can do what only He can do. So you see, we hinder God when we get in the way with our stuff. And so we need to understand that we need to get out of God's way. Surrendering to God is literally giving it up. It is telling God that we're not big enough to deal with our worries and we must take over. He must take over. I'm sorry. We want to take over, but we're not able to change anything. But we surrender to God and that allows Him. You see, God is a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do anything. He's a God of grace and mercy, but He's not going to force you. So if you want to hold on to that stuff, He'll let you hold on to it, but that's not His best for you. That's not what He really wants for you. So when we finally let go, we give God room to wield His mighty arm in our lives. And when our hands are weak and tired, God's hands are strong and powerful. So when we let go, when we get so tired, we get sick and tired, we don't want to deal with that mess anymore, and we surrender it to God. His hands are strong and powerful. We can't overload Him because He's a God that is a great big God, and He has all power in His hands. So we need to understand that giving it to God simply means to put your complete faith in God, to work whatever that is out for your good, and to know that ultimately it is His will and not your own that determines the outcome. See, we have to trust God enough to say, Lord, let your will be done. Lord, I want your will. Let it be your will, not mine. So when we look at Psalms 89 and 13, it says, powerful is your arm. Strong is your hand. Your right hand is lifted high in glorious strength. You see, that's what we need to realize. Powerful. God is powerful. Powerful is your arm. And strong is your hand. And your right hand is lifted high in glorious strength. We need to remember that verse because we sometimes think God's just not able to handle all of our stuff. But God is more than able to handle all our stuff. And we need to be free of that stuff so God can use it. So giving it to God simply means to put your complete faith in God to work things out for your good and to know that ultimately it is His will and not your own that determines the outcome. You see, we are supposed to be surrendered to God. So what He wants for us is what we ought to want for us. Because He knew us when we were yet unborn in our mother's womb. And He knows what's best for us. There's a song that says, you know what's best for me. And you know, we need to remember to say that, God, you know what's best for me. So letting go and letting God is a daily moment-by-moment choice. Like every discipline in life, we must learn to surrender and give it to God. We have to learn that sense. And we have a hard time letting go. We have a hard time surrendering. We have mistrust about things. And sometimes, you know, it's justified. But not with God. We can trust God. He's faithful to keep his word with us. And so we can trust him. He's not a man that he would lie, nor a son of man that he would repent. If he said it, he'll bring it to pass. That's what we need to remember. And so we can allow him to guide us. We can allow him to direct our steps. We can trust him. He's faithful to keep his word. We're used to dealing with humans, and so we're always thinking the way humans behave is how God behaves, but that's not true. So we need to understand that. The enemy seeks every new day to cloud our minds with worries, doubts, and fears. That's the enemy's job. But we don't have to let him do that job on us. He's not the one that we need to pay attention to. In fact, we need to ignore him. And we need to put him under the blood. We need to let him know that he doesn't have any power. His power is null and void with us. So the devil wants there to be no room left for God in our lives. To let go and let God becomes a lifestyle of daily giving it all to him. And he doesn't mind that we every morning have to get up and say, God, I roll the care of these problems over on you. Roll the care of this mess over on you. Lord, please, I am going to just let you handle it. Handle it for me today. He doesn't mind that. He's there. He wants to help us. Whenever the ugly hairs of negative thoughts seek to invade our space, we must cut them and give them to God immediately. We got to cut that stuff off and say, God, I'm rolling the care of this issue over on you. God's mercies are new every morning. So what happened yesterday, last year, or a decade ago, is completely gone. So we carrying stuff from years back. We carry that stuff, and it just weights us down, and we just continue to try to hold on to it. What you're holding on to it for? It caused you a problem, and now you're continuing to let it cause you a problem. So God's mercies are new every morning. So what happened yesterday, last year, or a decade ago is completely gone. We need to know that this morning, saints. We need to have a house cleaning. This last day of the year, we need to have a house cleaning. We need to get rid of all of the junk. We need to start a brand new year, and we need to start it without all of that stuff and on the inside of us that's weighing us down, that's causing us to have stress, causing us to worry, causing us to have high blood pressure and strokes and heart attacks. All of that comes from abusing your body. We overeat because we stressed out. We eat a lot of junk because we stressed out. I'm preaching to the choir this morning. I've got cookies at my house and candy and cake, stuff that I shouldn't be having, but I have it. But you know, you can eat it in moderation. I'm not trying to make y'all stop having some things that you enjoy, but do it in moderation. And when you get stressed out, don't grab for that donut. Don't grab for that candy bar. You know, grab for your Bible, grab for God. That's what we need to do. And Like I say, I'm preaching to the choir because I'm guilty as you are, but we need to be reminded that God's mercies are new every morning. So what happened yesterday, last year, or a decade ago, is completely gone. So carrying the past around will only take up space for God's goodness, grace, and favor. Renewing our minds in Christ means letting go of all the burdens He died to take from us. Removing all of that stuff and renewing our minds. The Bible says that we need to renew our minds with the Word of God. Be ye transformed. Be ye not conformed, but be ye transformed by the Word of God. You can find that in Romans 1, I believe. But anyway, you need to let God transform you. Your mind, that mind of ours, we need it renewed because our thought life is stinking thinking. And so we need to let go and let God have control. Let go and let God have your worry and your fears. And we all have them. You know, I don't care how saved you get. You know, that spirit of worry still tries to come on you. That fear. If you do a word study on fear, get your concordance or go online and get a concordance and do a word study on fear. See how many times in the Word of God that God helps us to understand that we shouldn't fear. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And one of my sister friends who's now gone on to be with the Lord, she had a testimony about that thing called fear. She said that she was raised by her grandmother. Her mother was alive, but she didn't raise she and her sister. When I had the opportunity to meet her grandmother, who was a wonderful Pentecostal lady. I went to her homegoing service, was the first Kojic homegoing service I had ever been to. And honey, those folks shouted and danced and praised the Lord. You know, I had a different view of everything when I left that service. But anyway, her grandmother raised her. And she said she was fearful of everything. Anything you could name took her, you know, that caused you to have to take a chance or you know, walk by faith and saw that. She was fearful. She didn't want to be set up in a room by herself or anything. So this man, who was a wonderful evangelist, and then he fell from grace, but God forgave him, A.A. Allen, he brought his tent meeting to Oakland. That's where she was raised. And he brought that tent meeting to Oakland, and the Pentecostal people and the Baptist people and everybody was going to his meetings. And so her grandmother took her to an A.A. Allen meeting. And when he got ready to pray for folks, she took her got in the prayer line with her and took her for that man to pray for her. And he prayed for her, and he gave her the scripture in 2 Timothy that says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And so we have to remember that. She said from that day on, that fear left her. Now, that man prayed for her, and he prayed in faith, and she got delivered. But he gave her the assignment of remembering that word of God, because there's power in the word of God. There's life in the word of God. And so he let her know that fear was not what God intended for her. So we need to let go and let God have control. Let go and let God have your worries and your fears. let go and let God have your finances. That's another issue. We have things called bills. We have the unexpected expenses. And many times we are strapped for finances. And we need to do what God's word says about finances. So I'm a teacher of tithing and giving, but you have to have faith in God to do that, you see. Most folks that don't tithe, they don't tithe because they don't have enough faith to tithe. You see, because you put yourself out there and you taking 10% of your income and giving it to God. And so sometimes that's very hard. When I first started tithing, I was working for the school district. Y'all heard me testify to this. And I was getting paid once a month. I had just become a single parent. And so money was really tight for me. But God showed me, and I had a pastor who could make you want to tithe just by his testimony. And he was not making, I found out that my pastor, after he died, was making $150 a month from a large Baptist church in East Palo Alto. That's all they were paying that man. But you could hear him talk about tithing, and it made you want to tithe too. So I stepped out on faith and started tithing on that once a month salary. I had tried working two jobs, working a job at night, but I had to be away from my children till late at night, and I knew that wasn't good. So I just said, I'm going to trust you, Lord, and I'm going to do what your word says. And I began to tithe on that once a month salary. And then God gave me another job. He gave me another job, prepared me to leave the school district. And when he gave me another job, my salary increased tremendously. You see, God is a, he will bless you. The scripture says in Malachi 3:10, it says he will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to take again. And to this day, I stand on that word and I tithe. I'm a been tied in. I know one of our great ministers, faith ministers, talked against tithing, and all of his colleagues jumped down his throat because we know that's not true. Tithing is for today. He was saying it wasn't for today, but it's for today. And if you do that, God will show you that, excuse me, he will keep his word. So we need to let go and let God have our finances. We need to let go and let God have our future. You see, God has a plan for us. While we're still yet unformed in our mother's womb, the Bible tells us God had a plan for us. That plan is still in action. And if we will follow him and stop trying to get him to follow us with these ideas that we have, but get an understanding. The scripture says, above all, get an understanding. That's what it says in Proverbs. And so if we get an understanding that we're supposed to follow God, he's not supposed to follow us, and he has a plan for us, and if we will allow him to have his way with us, we will be all right. So you can begin letting go and letting God to do what only you can do. And the way you're going to do that is start each day by giving it to God. Do not take yesterday's mistakes into the clean slate of the next day, of today. And then mentally shave off every single worry, doubt, fear, mistake, and anxiety from your mind each morning. Give it to God by starting each day with prayer. Speak to God. Yes, the day is full of responsibilities, but first talk to God. Acknowledge him. And I'll tell you what, if you go into a secular job, you better try to talk to God, because the devil is waiting for you at that job. and he got some stuff for you. So you need to go in there with a plan. You need to know what God has said to you. You need to know God is there to take care of you and direct you. So we need to tell him that we love him and tell him that we are thankful for Jesus' sacrifice for our life. And then we need to invite God's Spirit to guide us throughout the day. You need to invite God's Spirit to guide you throughout the day. Before you talk to anyone, talk to God. He'll set your day on the right path, and he definitely will. He definitely will. When I had a secular job, and even still I ask God for direction, but I got up an hour early so I could have time to have prayer and read the word before I went into that job. And the last job I had, secular job I had before I retired, oh, that was the job from hell. So I really need God to show me the way. So give it to God by starting each day with scripture. Open your Bible and read where you left off from the previous day. Grab your phone and use a Bible app. It's okay to use a Bible app. It's okay to have a little devotional, I call them devotional book, daily bread, or you know, just a guide to follow, to have your Bible reading every day, New Testament, Old Testament, scriptures, and some focus for the day. It's okay to do that. So you can use your phone and you can use a Bible app. So look through your emails and find encouraging verses that are sent to you. The Bible is living and active and like cool water for your thirsty soul. You know, the words in the scripture are alive. They are alive. And they will cause you to be encouraged. Maybe you woke up, you didn't feel good, you really don't like your job, you really don't want to go, but you know you need to go because you need the money, okay? But then, you know, you get up spending time with God before you go to that place that you hate, and God will help you get through the day. So give it to God by surrounding yourself with encouragement. If you'll never make it alone, you need to have people who will speak the truth into your life. You need to have people who will encourage you. And people who want to discourage you and tell you everything that's bad about you and what the world. You know, I had a sister in our church, and she latched herself onto me for a while. And that poor woman had serious diabetes. She was overweight. She had a husband who was an alcoholic. At that time, I wouldn't have been no help to her. And when she got you on the phone, she would drop all of that stuff on you. And when she got through with you, you better know somebody like God, because she had poured all of that terrible stuff that was going on in her life on you. And I don't know if you understand that when you deal with people like that, you have to know that you know God, and you need to get through and quit after you have a conversation with him. Because even if you're trying to minister to them, when they get through pouring that stuff on you, you need to get that stuff off of you. And the only way you're going to do that is with the word of God and prayer. So you can also listen to podcasts, you can read books, watch videos, and listen to Christian music. And all of that boosts your faith and encourages your spirit. All of those things. And then you can always be on the lookout for people and resources that you can add as spiritual buffers in your life. You know, there are some people that God will put in your life, and they will then be there to spiritually support you and encourage you. As I was preparing for the service this morning, I began to think about my prayer partner, Sister Cora Holmes, who is now at home with the Lord. And, you know, she was my prayer partner off and on for many years. And I say off and on because we prayed together, and then God sent me to Rhema. And then when I came back from Rhema, she was having prayer meetings at her, intercessory prayer meetings at her house. I think it was on Friday or Saturday night, and her house would be packed. And so then again, we got connected as prayer partners. And, you know, she was an intercessor, and, you know, she would pray, and I would pray, and all that time she was going through those attacks with those blisters on her body that were gigantic blisters. We continued to pray together until the end, and then, you know, God had mercy upon her, and she was tired, so she went home to be with the Lord. But I think about her a lot because, you know, she was the one that God connected me with. And when we connected in our in our lives, I met her as a parent who was in our summer program that one of my coworkers at Woodside High School wrote a proposal. And she wrote a proposal that would allow our students from East Palo Alto to have jobs during the summer. We would create jobs for them to do during the summer so that they could get paid because, you know, they could help with the school clothes and all. And we wanted a parent volunteer, and Cora was not a Woodside parent. She was a San Carlos parent. My friend and sister Bobby Arnold recruited her. And she came. She was Holy Ghost filled, very much Pentecostal, and nothing wrong with that. But, you know, she had to get used to us, and we had to get used to her. You know, everybody pretty much in the program was a Christian, except my the one that wrote the proposal. I was still trying to help her, and I was glad to God. But, you know, Sister Cora and I continued to have contact. And then she left the Pentecostal church and came to St. John, she and her sister. And we got to know each other even better as Christians. So when I think about her, I think about how we prayed together. So it's always good to be on the lookout for people and resources that you can add as spiritual buffers in your life. Give it to God by renewing your mind continually. Again, we got to renew our mind. The world will constantly try to add words to your day. So it is important that you maintain your spiritual health. See, it's important for us to take care of our spiritual health just like we take care of our natural health. So we have to understand that. Continually surrender those worries to God. Trust and believe that God is for you, He loves you, and wants only the best. You have to understand God loves you, because some people have the idea that God is standing over them with a big stick, just waiting for an opportunity to hit them with that stick, to beat them up, because He doesn't really like us because we're human beings. That is not true. So when you let go, you can fully rest in God's strength. You don't have to worry. The creator of the world is on your side. God is on your side. So give it to God. Give it to God. That's our subject this morning. Sometimes negative thoughts have become so much a part of our natural thought processes that we don't know that we can give them to God. However, God needs space to move in our lives. We can clear out all the debris that is clogging up our minds and learn to surrender to Him. See, our mind is a problem because it's filled. If our thought life is messed up, our mind is filled with a lot of garbage that we need to surrender. We need to just say, Lord, I surrender this mess to you. Please deliver me. He will deliver you below you know, looks here, how we can control, talk about control, that's what we want to do. Talk about control. It's the hardest thing to give up because without it, we feel vulnerable. But we do not need to worry. God is already in control. So some of us, when we hear surrender, we say, oh no, we can't do that. But you can trust God. God will allow you to surrender that mess to Him. I'm lying to say. And He will do the very best for you. So we need to recognize His authority and move over and let Him lead. Let Him lead. And we follow Him. He's the creator of the universe, so we can trust Him with each day. Letting go is scary at first because we're so used to being in control. But the freedom in our minds and hearts will be worth it. So we look at Romans 8 and 28 this morning. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good for those who love God. All things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. So worry adds not a single day to our lives. And in fact, worry oppresses us every second. When we start worrying, that's oppression. Worry can literally affect our minds and our hearts, but our bodies. So we have to know that worry does absolutely nothing positive. It's negative. So surrender worry to God and watch your life float in His favor. So, three steps to let go and give God your words. Give it to God. Finances. Talked about that. We tend to hold tightly to our finances. However, God wants to take the reins of our money. Money can become an idol if we place it before God. God wants to bless us, so we need to put our finances in their proper place, in God's hands. God will take care of us. We simply need to surrender our money and obey His lead. You see, and like I said, when God got me to have with enough faith to tithe, I have just a little bit of money. I didn't have a lot of money at all. By the time I got my check, taxes were taken out, and I waited a whole month to get it. But God, when I started tithing, it was like looked like those months started coming faster. My money was lasting longer, and even had money left over at the end of the month because I was trusting God. So keep your life free from the love of money. And be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Who is He? God. We know that He will never leave us or forsake us. That's Hebrews 13 and 5 if you want to read that again. So give it to God, your future. We can only change one day at a time. Living in the future robs us of the joy of today. Each day is a gift, and we miss it when we allow our minds to dwell on all the unknowns. We can trust God with our future so we can focus on today. Trying to control the future is like trying to control the wind. Contentment in today will prevent our eyes from wandering off to tomorrow. We concentrate on today, and then God will take care of tomorrow. And we have to remember that. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. So here's a way of letting go and letting God, by keeping a prayer journal. And I have many, many journals from years past.
Well, here we go.
I used to write in those journals every day. Whatever happened in prayer, whatever God showed me in prayer, I wrote it in a book. 1 Peter tells us, 1 Peter 5 and 7, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And that's what we can do in prayer. We can have that conversation with God about all those things that are bothering us. We can write them down, you know. We find that writing is a very good tool to help us free ourselves of things that are weighing us down. Write about it. Write about it. And if you're struggling with certain areas of your life, and you know you need to just let go and let God take the wheel, well, that's you need to do some journaling. So we need to understand journaling is to help you to identify the things you need to relinquish, control of, that you need to release. Meditate on them and ask God in writing to take the wheel. That's what we can do with journaling. And then we can journal scripture, and we can pray over specific areas of our life and put those notes in our journal. Writing is a good tool to use. And then stop trying to make this world on your own because you won't succeed. Give it to God. Let go and let God. That's what we need to do. And when you are struggling in your finances, give it to God. When you're struggling in your marriage, if you're married, let go and let God. When fear over what the future holds has you paralyzed, give it to God. When you feel that you are at a breaking point and there's no other options, let go and let God. What only he can do, let him do what only he can do. So how are you giving it to God in your daily life? You need to ask yourself that question. Are you fully surrendering to him at every area? And so we're going to stop right there. I'm going to leave you with those questions. I'm going to leave you with those questions for you to answer. And we are going to stop right here and just let you answer that last question that we asked you. We need to know how are you giving it to God in your daily life? And how fully are you surrendering to him in every area? So you answer those questions for yourself. I'm not asking you to tell me, but I'm certainly asking you to answer those questions for yourself. And we thank God this morning. Thank God for each one of you this morning. We thank God for your being a part of Bread of Life. We thank God that you've allowed us to be in fellowship with you this year. And we know that we're coming up on a new year. And whatever you believe in God for, we want it to take place for you. And so we just want God to bless you real good. Want you to have a safe New Year's Eve. And pray for us, because where I live, folks celebrate New Year's Eve by making a lot of noise with firecrackers and noise, fireworks, noise. And we live next door to some apartment buildings where those folks just don't have no mercy on nobody. It's against the law, but they don't care. They do it anyway. So pray for us. And then I'm going to be going at 3:00 today. I will be worshiping at the New Sweet Home Church of God in Christ. My pastor, Pastor Albert Macklin, is going to have his watch service at 3:00. Instead of having it tonight, we're having it this afternoon. And so I will be worshiping with him. And I don't know if it'll be on Zoom, but if it is, I will notify you all if you want to join that service. And so with that said, I'm asking God to bless you in every way possible in this coming new year. And we just thank God for all he's done for us this year and how he's kept us and provided for us. And we know that we still are serving a mighty God. Nothing has changed. We'll go into a new year, but we're serving the same mighty God we've been serving. And so with that said, I'm going to ask you, Reverend, to dismiss us, and we'll then say to you, we'll see you next year in prayer on Wednesday. We won't have prayer Monday because that's a part of the holiday weekend, but we will have prayer and Bible study on Wednesday. All right, Reverend.
Amen, amen. What a wonderful message to start the new year. Let go of everything last year and give it to God this year. If you didn't do it before, it is a good time to do it. Let go, let God, because there's so much that we can't do nothing about, but he can do something about everything. What a good message. I thank you for that message, Pastor. Let go, let God. I'm carrying that with me all year. I got to go to work today, and I'm carrying it with me definitely to work today. I almost thought I had to run before this was over with. And, you know, and I got to mention that song, Great Is Your Mercy. I'm going to tell y'all, that song brings tears to my eyes, and I'll tell you why. That song brings tears to my eyes because his mercy is so great. And when I hear that song, I think about all the things that he has brought me out of. I think about all his mercy that he had on me. I know he had some on y'all too, but man, it brings tears to my eyes when I hear that song. I don't care what version of it. It just brings tears to my eyes. And so, like I say, thank you for that message. We're going to keep that in mind, each and every one of us, I hope. I see my homegirl, Erica Carson, is online. What's up, homie? My homegirl is online. It's always a blessing to see her up in this place. And Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Father God, for each and every one here today, Father God. And as we go into this new year, Father God, I pray each and every one let go and let you, Father God. Let your grace and your mercy, Father God, take care of the things that we can't, Father God. Let your grace and your mercy overwhelm, Father God, and rule, Father God, and make us aware. Make us aware of your wonderful grace and your wonderful mercy, Father God, because I'm certainly aware of it, Father God. And so, Father God, as we vacate our service today, Father God, I pray to each and everyone here and the ones that listen later, Father God, don't leave the same as they came, Father God. Don't have the same frame of mind as they had last year, Father God, but walk into this year, Father God, with you on their mind, Father God. I thank you for each and everyone here and the families that are represented here today, Father God. A hedge of protection over each and every one of them, Father God. And so, Father God, we thank you. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory because all the glory belongs to you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, and everyone say, amen.
Amen.
Amen, everybody. All right. All right, y'all be blessed and y'all be safe.
Happy New Year, everybody.
All right, everybody, be blessed.
All right.
Thank you, Lord. That was right on time.